Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We're all getting ready for the big boy press conference tonight at 5:30. The big boy press conference. And ahead of that now, the big article coming out just moments ago, Biden's new danger. The calls are coming from inside the House. That's right. Damaging new leaks from inside the White House. And it matters because pressure is on Biden to quit the race, and it's building and building and building. All right, but let me bring up two other big boys, and that's Greg Opelka, prominent journalist at the Wall Street Journal, and his brother Mike Opelka, the lesser Opelka. You know him as America's talk radio fill-in host. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rich. I'm so happy to be here.
I can tell.
Nice to be back on.
Well, I wanted to come on and congratulate you, Mike, because your brother was kind enough, after I'm sure you badgered him over and over and over again, year after year, to finally write a piece about you in the Wall Street Journal. And it's a big deal. So congratulations.
Thank you. I don't know how you've crawled into my brain and heard all of my thoughts and all of my lamentations to my brother over all these long years. Please, Greg, my career will be validated if I'm on the pages of the Wall Street Journal.
see, Rich, I got him off my back for a while.
It's not going to last long, though, Greg. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm already working on the reprise.
So really, I mean, it was a great article, and I was proud to be mentioned in it alongside some other very prominent hosts, both locally and nationally in talk radio. And Opelka, Mike, you do a great job. We always love when you fill in for me, which is usually on Fridays, like next Friday, for example. And really, some of the biggest names in talk radio call on you. And it is interesting because you don't technically have a full-time job, and that was mentioned in the article that you don't. So, Greg, does that surprise you that your brother doesn't want to work full-time?
You know, it did surprise me, and because I think, like, as you said, he does do a great job, and I thought, well, but as he told me, he likes being, you know, have microphone, will travel. And that's great because there are always people like you that need his services. So I think it's great. It's a win-win.
Especially during the summer. So that's good. That means I don't have to worry about him trying to get my job, because I was going to have him killed in his sleep. So now you're saying I don't need to do that.
I think you're okay. You know, just pass him around to the other guys.
Now, Michael Pelka, since this national story was written about you as America's fill-in host, have you received calls from other program directors, other hosts around the country saying, hey, you know, we need you?
The only people who've called, Rich, are people who didn't get mentioned in the article that I've done fill-in work for, who are not happy. As you know, the green-eyed monster is very large among radio hosts, and all they want to think or all they want to be is on TV. Never mind that they've got a good gig. So, yeah, I've had to say, oh, it was in there before they edited it for space.
You saw your brother right into the bus right there, didn't you?
No, his editor. I threw his editor under the bus because they do have restrictions on how much space they have, which is kind of an interesting angle to all of this. There were other things in the original draft that didn't get put in there. But I thought it was a brilliant piece. My brother's always been the smartest guy in the family. Don't tell my brother Frank that. But no. He's always been the smartest guy in the family and the second funniest Opelka.
So this begins...
Nice.
This begins by saying, so America's Talk Radio guest host, filling in for Talk Radio Firebrands, is an art all of its own by Greg Opelka. And you begin by saying the following, Greg: my brother Mike won't shut up. That's the first line in the article.
You got to grab him. You got to grab him. And it's true. It's true. If he did, Rich, you'd have to work more.
That's true. That's a good point. That is a very good point. And I was it was interesting to get the perspective of the idea of when you come in, Mike, to fill in. And this is something we don't really talk about because, you know, back in 2018, when I was doing afternoons, the first stint, we really had to advocate for you to fill in for me, and it was something that I wanted. I like to think I'm one of the first guys who have had you fill in for him way back when, and I know you've always been grateful and appreciative of that. One of the things I always appreciated was you go in, you respect the space. So when I fill in, for example, I filled in for Dana Loesch today. When I fill in, it's kind of the same thing. I want to respect the space, but I'm not trying to do an impression of the host. And then that's really how you approach it, right?
Yeah, and you can't, because the audience will snap to it pretty quickly and they'll just leave you. So you have to be you and remember to respect the person whose house you're residing in. And it's a dance that you have to do, but you also have to know the show in order to uphold whatever fine standards there are. And when I first met you, when you were Dawn Stemblin's afternoon co-host back at the Democratic National Convention.
Very true. Yes.
Yeah, and now you've got your own big boy show on, your big boy.
It's my big boy show. Look at me. I know.
It's a very big boy show. But you have to respect the show that you're hosting, and you also have to understand the ephemeral nature of guest hosting. You're not going to be there forever. You're going to be there for a day or a week or however long. And you have to remind that audience and comfort them that the host they love is coming back. And that's half the key. And it also makes the program directors who chose you comfortable. Like, you know, Greg Stocker, GregStockerSucks.com, for those who are listening. You have to respect the home that you're in, and then you'll get invited back.
Greg Opelka, since you wrote this about your brother as America's guest host, what's been the reaction? Have you heard from people on your end?
Yeah, they said don't ever write anything like that again. No, I'm kidding. No, it's been nice. You know, I've gotten sort of the nice brother kind of thing. But I honestly, the reason I wrote it, I was sitting around a couple months ago thinking, you know, my brother works his butt off doing this stuff. You know, as you know, he assembles these news stories. It's kind of like his version of the Drudge Report, but he aggregates all these news stories every day and at the wee hours and sends them out to people. And I just, you know, it just kind of hit me that he should get some recognition for this. And also, the other thing, the job itself, as I wrote in the article, it's a lot like being the understudy in a play where you have to be prepared to go on at any time with very mm-hmm. little notice often. But your job, as Mike was just saying a second ago, your job is not to be the carbon copy of the regular guy. Your job is to be interesting and stay true to the mission of the show, just the way you would stay true to the character you're playing in the play. But you don't want to just like mechanically imitate the person you're replacing, because that would be boring. So, you know, it's a pretty interesting kind of gig, and there aren't many people in the country who do it, and I think Mike does it pretty damn well.
Opelka, Mike, let me ask you this. Have you ever filled in for a host, and then that host hated the job you did or wanted to yank you off the air mid-show or anything like that? Because I've heard nightmare stories about that from some talk radio hosts that they're real pains to fill in for. I've been fortunate that it's never happened to me. Has it ever happened to you?
Well, there's a couple who've never called back. You know, I did some fill-in work, and then I got ghosted, which reminds me of some of my college and high school experiences with women. You know, they lost the number. But no, generally, and I don't think they'd throw you off in the middle of the show. What they'll do is say, hey, look, just get through this to whomever is producing. Just get through today. We'll figure out tomorrow. And so it's also a reputational thing. I think I have a pretty steady reputation. I get up every day like you, Rich, and I prepare to do a show. And about 200 shows a year happen. And it's almost like I have a full-time job. But no matter what happens, at 5:40 when I send out the prep sheet, I'm ready to do a show somewhere. So if I don't have one booked, if somebody calls, I can do it.
Well, on that point, though, your morning prep is great. I read it every morning, and I'm grateful that you do it. I'm grateful you sent it to me. But by the time I'm ready to do the show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's kind of almost gone out the window in this crazy news cycle we're in. I mean, Greg, is it the same for you as a guy who writes for The Wall Street Journal? Is it kind of the same thing? You wake up in the morning, you have your idea of what you want to talk about and then or write about, and then as the day goes on, it completely changes?
You know, not so much for me, because I'm more of a, I'm like Mike in my own way for the Journal. I'm a pinch hitter. You know, I'm not on staff. I'm a regular contributor. So what I look for are the stories that maybe other people aren't, right now, for example, they have so many people there that are writing about, will Biden stay or go? It'd be pointless for me to even try to compete with that. So I look for different things. I look for the unusual, or to try to make some weird connections. And, you know, I'll tell you, if you want to hear, my very first article for the Journal was in 2015. And this is a good example of, I wrote an article comparing Donald Trump, who was then the candidate, to Jed Clampett of the Beverly Hillbillies. And it was because it just kind of hit me that you've got these two like fabulously wealthy guys who are eccentric, but both smart and with kind of quasi dysfunctional families, shall we say. And so that's the kind of thing. And I wrote that and they accepted it. And that was what really got me started there 61 articles ago. But that's the kind of thing I like to do, like find some angle that no one is seeing on this and go for. A couple of years ago when Biden gave that crazy anti-MAGA speech with the red background, right?
I liken that to
the first episode of Get Smart, where they had this evil character named Big X who was trying to destroy the Statue of Liberty. And, you know, so it's a fun, you know, it's a fun pop culture take on politics, but it's something different that you're not going to get from, you know, Kim Strassel and Dan Henninger, whom I love. They're all great. But I try to find some quirky new angle that nobody is seeing.
Well, we actually had you on because you wrote an article. I'm pretty sure it was a Broadway show themed article, right? And you changed the lyrics of I forget which one it was.
Yeah, that was I was comparing Fiddler on the Roof to the you know, that guy who was doing all the crazy I'm blanking on his name now, the all the politically correct lingo, right? Like we can't. And yeah, that was the Tevye the Milkman comparison, and how we couldn't say things, you know, call woman a woman and so forth. That was for the Daily Caller. But you know, that's another example where I'm trying to find either a theatrical or a TV or a pop culture link to a political event, you know. And so that's my edge.
Well, that's good. And we appreciate it. We appreciate you covering your brother. He does a great job for us here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, for me personally. And also, Mike is a host in his own right. He does have his own show on this radio station. You can hear him every Saturday night right here on 1210 WPHD. And, of course, he's America's guest host for the finest names in talk radio. Everyone who wasn't mentioned in that article is a loser. We can all agree on that point. Am I right?
Of course.
Well, good job, gentlemen. It's great having the brothers Opelka on the show. Greg Opelka and the lesser Opelka, Mike Opelka. I appreciate you guys joining me here.
I hope your hotel in Milwaukee is worse than mine was at the DNC in 2012. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't think it's possible. I don't think it could be any worse, really. I think if I sleep in the parking lot, it'll be an upgrade.
Shag carpeting and a hot tub in your room. I hope you get that room.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night. Thanks for joining me.
Okay.
I appreciate
it. All right, Rich.
Thanks for 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, so Obama's saying he did not encourage George Clooney to write that op-ed. Biden smirked after he got a question about it. Look, here's the deal. His big boy press conference is going to go down at 6:30, so it's about 5:19-ish right now. We'll take it for you live when it comes. And we are streaming live on YouTube right now. Thank you for watching if you are. I'm just going to say this, and I'll say this again. Joe Biden is behind all of this. He is the Chicago mob boss. He's a political thug, and he's behind this. And he's ordered the kill shot to go out on Joe. Bottom line. And Biden is not going to survive this. There's no way he can. Everything about the George Clooney op-ed, everything about Obama's speechwriter coming out yesterday and saying what he said. Joe, here are your choices. You're not going to be president, so you can either be a hero or you can go out without a legacy. We'll destroy your legacy. That's decoded behind the scenes inside messaging that was sent there. You know, it's the Dark Knight. You know, you either die a hero or you live long enough to be the villain. Well, in this case now, you have a chance to go out as a hero. Mount Rushmore worthy, Joe Biden, how you saved American democracy. And thank you for your 50 years of service. Or you can go out and we're going to expose you as the corrupt SOB that we know you are. And you know you are too, Joe, because we got the goods on you. Everything that Joe Biden did when he was vice president to enrich himself with Ukraine, Barack Obama knew about it. Look, that should be a scandal in and of itself, but it's not going to be because the corporate media loves Obama and they want Biden gone now, too. So since the corporate media loves Obama and they want Biden gone, it's not going to be a scandal. And they'll cover for Barack Obama, even if the Bidens try to fight back, and they're not going to, because the leaks are coming from within the White House now. The CNN story that was published today essentially going on and saying everything is scripted. Everything that goes on in that White House is completely and utterly scripted, from the note cards to who he's calling on. This person, it's all a ruse. This is a carefully managed operation. And so everybody, you, me, Opelka, everybody who said this was a man with serious cognitive decline. This is a man who can't do this job. And we were called conspiracy kooks, and we were told these were cheap fakes and everything else. The White House has been carefully orchestrating all of this, but the media knew about it and the media helped. And that's my point. The corporate media is with you until they aren't. Now they're not with Biden anymore. Now they're turning on him because the word has been given he has to go, take him out, and they'll do it. They're helping do it. CNN, MSNBC, article after article being written, Politico, new polling data that's coming out, Washington Post, New York Times. The New York Times has been burying Biden lately. All these places over and over again, showing everybody exactly what we thought about Joe Biden. Now, they want to protect Barack Obama, and they will. And that's why whatever Biden has on him is meaningless. It's also why, and this is a key point to watch here, Barack Obama doesn't have to say a word. He does not have to say a word. He has his minions go out there and do it, and his minions deliver the message. And that's what's happening. Hollywood's turned on Biden. The corporate media's turned on him. Big tech's turned on him, too. Stories that used to be the kind of thing that would be taken down as being cheap fakes, they're all over the place now. And it's a barrage. It's a barrage. In politics, they used to say it's the big Mo, the momentum. You know, you got the big Mo. Well, now the Mo is going in the opposite direction. The momentum now is pylon after pylon. There seemed like a moment this week, a very short window, where it seemed like it was going to be something that Biden could survive. Very short window. But that's gone. That's over now. More Democrats are calling for him to drop out. And the other ones who haven't yet are just waiting till after NATO concludes and waiting till this big boy press conference is over tonight at 6:30. In some ways, you got to ask yourself, why are they even letting Biden do this? And the reason for it is because they want to let him decide his way out. And the big part of it is because Obama's a crook. And Biden's a crook, too. And Biden wants to get the best possible package he can get as he negotiates his exit strategy, his exit plan. But make no mistake, Dr. Jill Biden, and you always have to say doctor by law, she's looking for the exit strategy, too. She's looking for the exit package as well. And there's no question that all of Biden's corruption is sitting on that Hunter Biden laptop. All of Biden's corruption is there, sitting on the Hunter Biden laptop. The government has it. That trial's set to start in September. And when Team Obama sends the message that you can either go out a hero or we can destroy your legacy, that's the Chicago mob boss saying That will be one ugly trial. That'll be an ugly trial, and it all comes out, big guy. The fact that they're calling this a big boy press conference when we know Joe Biden as the big guy, or the, yeah, I mean, the fact that they're doing that is just another slap in his face. Just another way to, you know, good riddance to you. I mean, they're mocking the guy. His own people are openly mocking him in front of the world, mocking him by calling him a big boy, saying this is a big boy press conference. Well, he's like he's a baby, like he's a child. One more time, Matt DeSantis, that Daily Show clip, because I think it's so accurate here. It's funny because it's true. It's funny because why are these people who are supposed to be his own people going out there and saying over and over again that this is a big boy press conference? Take a listen.
Worry not, Biden's team has a plan. Tomorrow he'll hold a press conference to show that he's fully in charge of all his faculties. Unfortunately, their branding isn't helping.
The next test is what the White House says will be some kind of a big boy press conference.
He'll have a press conference, a big boy press conference, his big boy press conference, a big boy press conference.
I guess a big boy press conference, yes, is what we're calling it.
Oh my God, stop saying big boy press conference. It sounds like he's going to show everyone that he can tie his own shoes. Although, at this point, it would be reassuring to see him do that.
It's funny, and it's true. Why are his own people calling it a big boy press conference? And then there's Jill Biden. You remember that after the debate when she addressed the crowd? Now, I could do it, Matt DeSantis, but I think my screeching is not nearly as good as her screeching. So should we hear it right from the horse's mouth?
Nobody does it quite like Jill.
Okay.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question you had.
Yay! Yay, Joe! Yay!
And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do?
He lied! Joe, you did so good, Joe! You did so good! Oh, man, I tell you, it's just great. Nails on a chalkboard right there is what that is. And after tonight, after the big boy press conference, I'm sure we'll get that again. You did so good, Joe. Didn't he do good? You did so good. What did you send me here, Matt DeSantis? I can't open it.
Oh,
Jake
sorry.
Tapper?
Yeah, it's so I actually haven't listened to the whole thing yet, but apparently it's one of Biden's senior advisors blaming radio station edits for why people think Joe Biden is cognitively impaired.
Okay. All right. Let's hear that now, because the latest is that a radio station admitted today that the White House pressured them to edit the transcript to take out something about Joe Biden and all the people that are black who work for him. It was a thing he really said, and the White House told this radio station, please take it out. There were two edits that they asked them to make, and this is a true story, and it came out earlier today, and it's blowing up everywhere, and I talked about it earlier in the show. Take a listen.
Breaking news in our 2024 lead, Hawaii Democratic Representative Ed Case is also now calling for President Biden to step down from running for re-election. It has also come to light today that after President Biden called in for a radio interview, one of these interviews done to kind of quell concerns and show the president was fine and completely on point. After he did that call, the Biden campaign called that station asking them to edit out two of his answers. Civic Media, Wisconsin Progressive Talk Radio Network, acknowledged that staff took out the Biden campaign's suggested edits, deleting two answers from the president's July 3rd interview with host Earl Ingram. The first answer is Biden said, quote, I have more blacks in my administration than any other president, all other presidents combined, and in major positions, cabinet positions. Obviously not an accurate thing to say. The second, when Biden was talking about Trump's past comments about the Central Park Five, we should note, like, this is a big journalism no-no, editing out an answer because the politician in his campaign didn't like it, or they didn't like how he came across. I don't know exactly the reason. We'll find out from the Biden campaign maybe someday. Alenzi, your reaction. Again, just to remind people, these were the interviews he did to clean up the mess.
Look, it is not making things a lot easy for us right now as Democrats. I will say, as a comms staffer, we will sometimes go after an interview and try to clean up the quotes. However, to get the goal across that President Biden knows what he's talking about, that, you know, to temper down some of this conversation, this isn't helpful. But at the same time, we have to continue to get him out there because right now he is the nominee and we have to keep talking about the threat on the other side. There are a lot of accomplishments this administration has achieved.
That's enough. That's enough. You know, the blaming of everything. Look, this should be a scandal in and of itself. I mean, look, there's two scandals here, in my opinion. One is that the media has been so complicit and all these people in the White House who knew about Biden's mental issues, knew about his cognitive decline, knew that this guy's freaking lost it and then covered it up, and the corporate media that went along with it. The second is that this White House has been pressuring news outlets to edit transcripts of the president of the United States of America, and many of them went along with it. That also should be a major scandal. Why is this administration asking news organizations to edit out transcripts that are 100% true, 100% correct, because they just don't like what Biden said, or because Biden said something that is so insane they just don't want it staying on the record? And come on. Where's everybody else in journalism, in the Fourth Estate? They're hacks. Look, this is a thing. The corporate media is with you until they aren't. The corporate media is with you until they are. They were with Joe Biden until that debate. The word's gone out by the crime boss, Barack Obama. He's got to go, take him out. And now they're all turning on Biden one by one by one. And Biden will not survive this because no Democrat wants to be on the wrong side, on the losing side. And Biden is going to bring down other races across the country. Look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm dead wrong and Joe Biden is on the ballot in November against Donald Trump because I want Trump to win. I've known the guy since 2015. I was honored to be part of his team, honored that he's been on the show, and I look forward to being able to see him again in the White House. And I want to take my kids to the White House Easter egg roll and not invite Matt DeSantis.
Darn it.
That's what I'm looking forward to. But there's no way he survives this. There's no way, because Democrats down ballot are going to get crushed. This is CNN's pollster Harry Enten going on about how now Donald Trump has the chance of winning blue states. If it's Kamala Harris, I still think Trump wins. I really do. But I don't know what I don't know, so I hope it's Biden because I just don't know what I don't know. I know what I know is Biden loses to Trump big time. And this is also now what CNN's pollster guy is confirming. Take a listen.
There is talk of some states that historically in recent history have not been as competitive suddenly becoming competitive. Walk us through those.
Yeah, so I'll give you two examples because this is pre-debate polling from 2024. And look at these 2020 results. New York, this is a blue state. I don't think there's a Republican who's carried that in my lifetime, or certainly not when I was more than a year old. Look at this. Joe Biden won this state by 23 points. Look at this polling, though, that came out pre-debate. It was Biden just by 8 points. I wouldn't be surprised if that state is even closer now. Or how about in Virginia, right? A state that Joe Biden easily won last time around by 10 points. Pre-debate, the race there was tied. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some post-debate polling that actually has Joe Biden behind in Virginia. Who would have ever thought we'd see that? But the fact is, when we're looking at these states, New York, Virginia, Minnesota, New Hampshire, states that Joe Biden easily carried last time around, now all of a sudden, the Donald Trump campaign thinks that they can put into play. And you know what? Based upon this data pre-debate, I believe they absolutely can.
Yeah.
Blue states in play. New Jersey is a statistical tie, according to one poll that came out. Now, look, whether or not CNN really believes that, or CNN is saying that because CNN wants Joe Biden out, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The corporate media is with you until they aren't. And they've turned on Joe Biden, and they will not turn on Barack Obama, no matter what Joe Biden has on them. The good news is that Trump beats Kamala Harris if Kamala Harris is the nominee. Will she be the nominee? Well, Jen Psaki Snarks, the former White House press secretary, was asked the question, should Kamala Harris be the nominee? This is what she said.
Campaigns are talking about the alternative. And the alternative is very clearly, in my view, there's a lot of really amazing Democrats on the bench. But because of the timeline and everything, I think it is clearly Kamala Harris, right? So right. I don't know why there hasn't been kind of an overwhelming Kamala Harris would be a great president and she would be a fierce, amazing campaigner, right?
Right, because she's going to lose. Even worse, that's why. She's a terrible candidate, but here's something else. Don't forget, the Biden people hate her because of the time she savaged Joe on that debate stage and called him a racist and said, I was that little girl, Joe. You remember that? She talked about how he hung out with the Seggies, which he did, the segregationist senators. So the Biden people hate her, and they do not want her to be top of the ticket. And apparently Biden doesn't either. So maybe this is part of the negotiations that are happening right now. He'll leave if she leaves. Who knows? The shadow knows. That's who. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. What did you just text me? You know it's bad when the New York Times op-ed section is calling out the Biden White House for edited transcripts. Did that just happen?
Well, no, that was a day ago.
Oh, okay. I thought there was an update.
No. They did it, yesterday. I think it was yesterday. All the news blurred together. Also worth noting, the New York Times reported that Biden doesn't think Kamala can do any better than he can against Donald Trump.
Yeah. He's not wrong. She can't.
I think he's right. Yeah.
Yeah. She does. I think she does worse, actually. I really do. Although maybe not. Maybe it's a tie. Either way, it's a terrible tie for either of them. All right. Got to continue here. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May. .com. Go see them. Go online right now. GrandHotelKMA.com. Book your summer vacation. Make those memories and you'll have amazing rates as well and get resort credits. GrandHotelKMA.com. We'll be right back.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Zeoli Show, on your schedule. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Just wanted to turn to a foreign story for just a moment. Biden sending F-16s to Ukraine. There was a time when tanks going to Ukraine was World War III, but now we're at F-16s, even though he said he was not going to send them any aircraft. But, yep, damn right, he's doing that. So this is the latest now. The Pentagon is going to dismantle that temporary pier they built for their Gaza aid operation. It's a $230 million project, literally down the drain, into the ocean drain. Struggled to overcome rough seas and other problems since it started. In the nearly 2 months since it was first attached to the shoreline, the temporary pier off Gaza has been in service for only about 20 days. An absolute disaster. Actually, this pier is a great analogy for this administration. It really is. You spend $230 million on something that does not work, and it's a disaster, and it's a waste. And Jake Sullivan, the other spokesperson, said, "I do anticipate that in relatively short order, we will wind down pier operations." And on Wednesday, personnel from the military central command attempted and failed to reattach the makeshift pier to the beach in Gaza after rough seas forced operators to remove the structure several days ago to avoid damage. This is like Biden. It's like his whole presidency floating away. Can't survive the rough seas, is a gigantic waste of money, and needs to be taken down. This is such an analogy for Joe Biden. It's amazing. Here's John Kirby, White House co-press secretary, going on about the pier. Take a listen.
Right now, the U.S. pier there is set to be permanently removed, yeah. As you know. As the U.N. says, famine is spreading after at least three more children died of malnutrition. Why has the U.S. failed, at least so far, to get more humanitarian aid, desperately needed humanitarian aid, food, water, medicine, into Gaza?
Well, again, with respect, Wolf, I think I would dispute the premise there that we haven't failed. I mean, the United States has been leading the world in trying to get humanitarian assistance into Gaza, and we've been trying all different ways to do it. In fact, we want to get caught trying, and in this case, we tried the temporary pier. We said from the beginning that that wasn't exactly what this pier was designed to do over a long period of time, and that it would be a hard, complicated task. It proved to be that. It's also very susceptible to the weather.
It's very susceptible to the weather and rough seas. And you guys didn't factor that in before you spent $230 million of my money? Huh? Jake Tapper revealed on air a short time ago that Biden's longtime advisor texted him writing, "I'm angry at his inner circle." It's his inner circle now throwing him off the bus, throwing him off the pier into the rough seas of the ocean. It's really amazing. David Chalian said, what exactly are the Biden folks trying to prove by doing interviews and editing them? You know what they're trying to prove right now? They're trying to prove that they want this guy to go. That's what's happening. I'll tell you exactly what's going on right now. You want to know what it is? Everybody knows that Biden's done. And now it's a matter of how can I try to act like I wasn't part of this fiasco? Because people in Washington are always thinking about their own self-interest constantly. This is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. So people in Washington are always trying to think of their own personal self-interest, self-preservation. That's what these people do. And for them, what they're thinking right now is, okay, this guy's done. I have to still work in Democrat politics. What am I going to do? And they want to let people know when it's over, oh, yeah, I knew it was over. I was definitely on team over. They'll be on team Biden until it is so obvious that Biden can't survive. And then they go, I was always on team over. I was originally that. None of these people have any backbone or spine. But we know now that even cabinet meetings are scripted. We know that press events are scripted. And people like Chuck Todd, who came out the other day and said, I had a cabinet secretary 2 years ago, out of the blue, call me up and ask me, do you really think he's going to run? I mean, he can't, right? And he hit it, covered it up for everybody. Wouldn't be honest and tell the truth about things. So the poll numbers are what they are, and it's not good in any way, shape, or form. Casey, we talked about this earlier with David Urban. So Bob Casey Jr., the lesser Casey, his lead over Dave McCormick is shrinking. This is the mean, the top-down effect on the ticket. Top-down effect on the ticket. And it's hurting down-ballot candidates in a big way. In fact, you've got some people right now coming out and saying, you know, this could cost Democrats the House and actually cost them the Senate as well. Both things could be happening. Now, on the Republican side of things, future President Donald Trump, said he's going to pick his vice presidential candidate soon. He likes Vance's beard, but he sees Rubio as risky. I hope he doesn't pick Rubio. I really don't. He had some wider concerns about Burgum and Rubio. He talked today to Brian Kilmeade on Fox News Radio, and this is what he said. He said, everything's an issue. When he was asked about his concerns over his short list of potential running mates, that includes Vance, Doug Burgum, Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Trump was asked about Burgum's stronger abortion stance, Rubio's residency complications, since both he and Rubio are living in Florida, and Vance's beard. Trump said the beard looks good. He said he looks like a young Abraham Lincoln. That's right. Trump had no other comments about J.D. Vance, but he had some wider concerns about both Burgum and Rubio. He called Burgum's past signing of strong abortion limits as North Carolina's governor a little bit of an issue. He said it's a pretty strong ban. I think Doug is great. He's taken a pretty strong stance, or the state has. I don't know if it's Doug, but the state has, so it's an issue. And after rallying with Marco in Miami Tuesday night, where Trump toyed with a possible Rubio running mate, Trump discussed the Florida senator's residency problem. Because Rubio would have to move out of the state because you can't have two people from the same state because of the Electoral College issue. And that's why that would have to happen. He said, you do that, it makes it more complicated. There are people that don't have that complication. Now, it's fairly easily fixed, but you have to do something with delegates or there has to be a resignation. So it's not like picking some people where it's very easy, where there is none of that. All right. Now, I'm watching Joe Biden on Fox News right now. He's speaking in Washington. This is before the press conference. He's with Zelensky, giving him the checkbook as usual. What do you want? How many more zeros? How many more zeros do you need, Zelensky? Just here's take the pen, take the checkbook. Just write it out yourself. Tulsi Gabbard is urging former president and future president Donald Trump not to pick Marco Rubio. I have not heard Tulsi's name on the short list, but I was with somebody the other day who said, I think she'd be a great pick. I personally love Tulsi. I'm a big fan of Tulsi Gabbard's. I don't think she's going to get picked because I think Trump wants somebody who has current elective office, somebody who can show that they're currently running something. I think that that's something he's looking for. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's going to go outsider. Who knows? But she, either way, she said, don't go with Little Marco. She didn't call him Little Marco, but, you know, throwback to 2016, Little Marco. I also hope he doesn't pick Rubio. I don't think he needs to. He's going to win Florida anyway. I don't think Rubio brings him much. I think he's going to win the Hispanic vote. I don't think Rubio, and I worry about the globalism stuff. I worry about the war stuff a little bit too much with him. This is what she said. Take a listen.
I think it would be a huge mistake for President Trump to choose him because he represents the neocon warmongering establishment of Washington, D.C., which stands diametrically opposed to the very policies that President Trump has always stood for, going all the way back to when he ran for president in 2016 through that first term in office, and the things that he's talking about wanting to do now. And it would send the wrong message to a lot of folks who are very concerned about the fact that we are on the brink of war with Russia and China and Iran and North Korea. If Marco Rubio is his vice president, then that is what we will face. And it will cause a lot of people to question what kind of foreign policy will actually be executed. Will it be the one that Trump wants and stands for, or will it be one that will continue the deep state neocon warmongers who've gotten us into the mess that we are in now?
You're joking, right? DeSantis?
I'm not joking.
You're joking.
No, it's real.
Okay, this just happened moments ago. You still think this guy's going to be the candidate in November, right?
I mean, I'm not as confident as I was even 24 hours ago, but yes, I still think he's going to hold
on. So then
on.
Take my bet, $1,000 if I'm wrong, pizza for you if I'm right.
I'm never going to be able to come up with $1,000. I work here.
No, pizza, $1,000 if I'm right, and then pizza for you if I'm wrong.
That seems like a terrible trade-off since a pizza costs like, I don't know what, $15?
No, it's all about what I put into it. It's my heart and soul. It's priceless.
If I win, though, you have to use the shredded mozzarella cheese that I like.
No, I'm not going to use shredded mozzarella cheese. Only fresh mozz goes on my pizza, right?
I like the shredded.
The fresh mozz.
I like the shredded.
It won't work in the pizza oven. The oven's too hot.
What happens to the cheese then? Won't it just melt?
It burns. It doesn't melt. It burns.
Well,
what's wrong with you?
I'm not a pizza expert like you are.
No, you got to use the fresh mozz in the water, and you put that on the pizza, and then it goes in the oven. It's got 900 degrees, the pizza oven, Matt DeSantis, so it's got to withstand that, and the moisture is critical to that.
Is the pizza oven pepperoni friendly?
It sure is, okay, but I use the real pepperoni, the good stuff. I slice it myself, you know what I mean? None of that Shin God bagged pepperoni nonsense, all right?
No Hormel?
No, I'm not doing Hormel.
Ah, is it even pepperoni if it's not Hormel?
God, help me. Help me. Help me. So if you're so cocky and so confident, take the bet. You just owe me $1,000. You can pay it off over the course of your lifetime with a marginal low interest rate, 7.99%.
That's very generous of you. Thank you.
The least I can do. You're like a pal. So
I'll have to keep negotiating, I think.
Well, here's Biden just introduced the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, as somebody else. Take a listen.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
Good night, everybody. Good night. I'm done. I'm out. Have a good rest of your night. I don't need to continue the show. I actually don't even need to continue being on radio because I'm going to be so right after this that everyone is going to owe me a pizza at the very least. All the naysayers. Now that really happened.
That's real.
That's not artificial intelligence. It's nothing like that.
No, it happened like 5 minutes ago.
One more time with feeling as Joe Biden, the president of the United States of America, introduces the president of Ukraine.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
I'm just staring into the camera right now on YouTube. That's all I'm doing. I'm not speaking. I'm just staring into the camera with this look of... And you doubt me? and you doubt me, don't doubt me. It never works out well for anybody who doubts me. So how did President Putin do at the press conference today with Zelensky? Was that awkward? Was it awkward? I'm just curious. Did they get along well? No, not so much.
I don't think he was there.
I don't even know what to say to that, actually. But is there more like after that? Does he correct himself, or does Zelensky just come to the podium?
So I think he says my apologies and corrects himself. I'm trying to find a longer version of the clip.
Oh, that's glorious. That really is glorious.
It just happened, though.
Oh, it makes me happy. It really does. It makes me happy. All right. Well, we'll get ready for the big boy press conference tonight as the president of Russia is in town. So look at that. Very nice of Putin to show up. I think that's fantastic. Ooh, New York Times, just checking the far right wing New York Times. And this is the headline of the story. Some Biden advisors are discussing how to convince him to step aside. Close allies of the president are developing a case for why he should end his reelection campaign, though it is not clear the discussions have reached him. And it says here, this is written by Michael Schmidt, Katie Rogers, and Peter Baker. These are all White House correspondents, and Michael Schmidt is an investigative reporter. And I'm telling you right now what this all comes down to. It comes down to Ukraine funding. They were so worried that Biden's going to lose and that Trump is going to cut off Ukraine funding, and the military-industrial complex is not going to let that happen, nor will the swamp let that happen. There's no way they're going to let that happen. Here's a longer version of the Putin cut. Take a listen.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President.
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot better.
You know, when you're trying to save your presidency and remain the nominee of your party, and you're up there with the president of Ukraine, you call him Putin. I don't know if strategically that is the best strategy. Again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's how you do it. Maybe everybody goes, you know what? The hell with it. Keep him. Keep him in there. He's so gone at this point. Let's just have fun. Let's just rock it till November. Who knows? Maybe that's the strategy. They just said to him, you know, let Joe be Joe. And there you go. Zelensky has been saying a lot of nice things about Trump recently. And he definitely thinks Biden is losing. No doubt about that. What has he been saying, Matt DeSantis, about Trump? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I heard some clips yesterday. I don't remember his exact quote, but I remember thinking, wow, that is pretty flattering. And I don't think he would have given that same response like 2 years ago, for example. So I think the writing's on the wall. Pretty much everyone is in agreement nationally, internationally, that Trump is probably going to win this race.
Yeah, I think so too. But what does Justin Trudeau think? In the 6 o'clock hour, I'll share with you some comments that he's made recently, and I'll tell you why Mick Jagger got booed in Canada. That's right, all that straight ahead. But I want to thank my great friends over at Cherry Hill Volvo for their incredible sponsorship of this program at our radio station. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios every day. And Judith Krupnik, Joseph Cohen, the entire team, they'd love to see you. Put you behind the wheel of a beautiful Volvo. There's never been a better time to get there because they have incredible incentives, aggressive promotions, and financing available for you because they're doing a renovation special. Judith's dad started the dealership in the 1960s, and it's long been time for them to renovate, and it's not a big deal. I was there recently, picked up my beautiful XC60, a gorgeous SUV. I love driving it. Bridget, as you know, drives the XC90, and that third row SUV is fantastic. We drove up to the Adirondacks with it. So much room, safe and sound. Maybe you want the S-Class, made at their plant in South Carolina. Either way, at Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, you'll have the luxury experience you deserve. They have generations of customers. People keep going back there. Like my dermatologist, Dr. Green, he's gotten 6 Volvos from Cherry Hill Volvo. That's what I mean. They treat you with the respect you deserve, and they work to find you the absolute best deals, promotions, incentives. And because of the renovation special, even more aggressive promotions to make it up to you. So there's never been a better time than now to go to Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill and stand with them because they stand with us. You see the sign behind me? We broadcast from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. Even when I'm in the Zioli home studio, it's still the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. Judith has the naming rights, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that in this age of cancel culture, she says, I'm standing with you. I'm doubling down on my support and my sponsorship. So show the love. Show that back to her and the entire team at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Thanks for listening to the Zioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.